Hello, and welcome to the first ever episode of the podcast F4. We're calling it that since it's easier to say than food and frightening film fanatics. Try saying that.
Food, frightening food fanatics. Food, frightening food fanatics. Food, frightening food fanatics.
Okay, close enough. We're going with F4, needless to say. So, I'm Jeanette.
And I'm Michelle.
And obviously you can tell us apart. So, this podcast is about two of our favorite things, which is food and scary movies, or really scary anything. Scary TV shows, haunted houses, true crime.
Or scary food.
Or scary food. Yes. So, what we're going to do is we're going to review one film each week, and then Michelle will come up with a food based on the themes of that movie. Obviously, we are not experts on anything. We have no idea what we're doing. We're just trying to have a good time. So, we will try to keep these episodes short because, like you, we will wander off if we become distracted by something. So, and last thing, this goes without saying, but just in case, heavy spoilers ahead. If you haven't seen this movie and you plan to see it, turn back now. So, having said all of that, our first movie up is a holiday favorite, Black Christmas from 1974. It was also released under the title Silent Night, Evil Night, and Stranger in the House. There is a 2006 remake of this movie, which I don't plan on seeing because the reviews were so bad, nobody cares. So, as you know, in horror movies, there are sequels, 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 prequels. You know, you can spend the rest of your life just watching different versions of the same movie.
Everyone loves a Black Christmas.
So we're sticking with 1974's the original Black Christmas. Also, you don't want to get this movie confused with the 10,000 other horror titles that start with the word black, such as Black Sunday, Black Friday, Black Sabbath, and even Black Swan. So, where to find this movie? This show is not the easiest thing in the world to find. It's not on the usual streaming, you know, big streaming services. It's not on Netflix, Hulu, or Amazon. It is on Shudder, which, for those of you who don't know, is a streaming horror site. If you like horror movies, I'd highly recommend that. And it's also available on Google Play or iTunes or YouTube if you want to go that route. So, why should you watch this movie? Well, it's usually on many of the best horror movies of all time list, which is how I first encountered it. And depending on who you ask, it's either the first slasher movie ever or the second slasher movie ever. The people that say it's the second slasher movie ever credit 1971's Bay of Blood as the first movie. It definitely was an inspiration. Either way, it definitely was an inspiration for John Carpenter's 1978 Halloween, which is the highest grossing independent film of all time. And just to give you a perspective on what else was going on that year, 1974 also saw the introduction of the first Texas Chainsaw Massacre. So not for the faint of heart. There are a number of common horror tropes in this movie, but we'll talk about that more later. Right now, Black Christmas currently has a 71% from critics and a 75% from audiences on Rotten Tomatoes, so that's relatively high, especially since the movie's so old. Black Christmas is a Canadian import, and we love all things Canadian, don't we?
Quack, quack, quack.
I believe that was a Canadian goose. I'm not sure. Is that a Canadian goose?
Yes.
It was directed by Bob Clark, not Canadian, he's from Florida. But everybody, it was filmed in Canada, released in Canada, and all of the actors are Canadian. You may remember Bob Clark from his most famous film, We're in Cleveland, and his most famous film, this is the clue, involves a leg lamp. What do you think it is? A Christmas Story. She said A Christmas Story. She just wouldn't say it to the mic for some reason. So, A Christmas Story. So, in Cleveland, I'll tell you, I'm not from Cleveland. People love A Christmas Story. I never heard of it before I moved to Cleveland. But that was his most famous movie. And then, do you remember the movie Porky's from 10,000 years ago? No, well, that's another one of his famous movies, but it's really A Christmas Story, I think, is his most famous movie. Interestingly, he did not do any horror movies after Black Christmas. And I'm like, oh, he got this one right, so he could just move on to another genre. So, plot of the movie. It's pretty straightforward, as many horror movies are. The basic plot is there are some girls in a sorority house. It's Christmas time, and most people have already left for the holidays. There's a few women left behind. And all of a sudden, they start receiving disturbing, obscene telephone calls. And these calls are pretty freaky. They're like multiple voices. There's a child. There's a pig snorting at some point. Yep, sort of like that. And it's pretty freaky stuff. It's like, is the person demon-possessed? I don't know. But anyway, that's pretty off-putting. And then we see at the beginning of the film, from the killer's perspective, him outside looking at the house, and then he walks into the house and then hides. And then he proceeds to knock off the girls one at a time. So, characters. So one really good thing about this movie is that many of the characters are fairly well fleshed out, before they're killed, of course, which is actually pretty good for horror movies, because many horror movies nowadays are just concerned about the body count. They're not fleshing out any characters. But obviously, if you know a little bit about the character and you get to care about them, then you feel worse when they're killed. So I say we definitely need more character development for those in horror movies. So let's see, there's a house mother who's named Mrs. Mack, and she's a hoot. She's an old vaudeville actress who's an alcoholic, and she hides bottles of everything inside all the books throughout the house, so that's pretty fun. And she's always singing or doing some act. And then the most famous person you might recognize from this movie is Margot Kidder, and she was Lois Lane on Superman with Christopher Reeves. And Margot Kidder, may she rest in peace, she died this year. So she also played a fun character named Barb, who also was a big old alcoholic. All these Rory sisters are big old alcoholics for some reason, I don't know why. But she drank a lot, and she wasn't taking any crap off of anybody, and she was not remotely fazed by the obscene phone calls. So, there's her, and then I thought she would be the final girl this movie, since she's the most famous, but I was wrong. She is not. The final girl is a character named Jess, who is played by Olivia, I think her last name's Hussey, H-U-S-S-E-Y. I'm sorry if I pronounced that wrong. She has a very lovely English accent, and as we know, everything sounds better with an English accent. Don't you agree?
Yes.
I wasn't sure what you were going to say. So Jess and her boyfriend Peter are having some relationship issues. Oh, also I forgot one of the most important characters, Claude the cat. Claude looks like a nice long-haired Persian cat. I think he was excellent in his role of a cat. And I'm not sure what other movies he was in, but I hope he won some awards for this one. So, way to go, Claude. So that's basically it. And the ending is another really horror trope, in that in the end, the person that the police officers and what's her name, Jess, think is the killer, it was not the killer. So what happens is the killer is still in the attic with the first murder victim, Claudia, who has a dry clean bag over her head, and is propped up in front of the window for anyone who is outside to see, but apparently no one is outside looking at the attic window because it's really easy to see her, and poor Mrs. Mack, who is also dead in the attic. So he's upstairs, still in the attic, and Jess, who's been given a sedative by the doctor, is asleep in the house, and everyone else left the house. So I don't think it's looking good for poor Jess. If there was a version 2, what do you think?
Doesn't look good.
Doesn't look good for her. So, I'm like, why would you just leave a poor woman that everybody she knows has been killed in a house alone, and everybody just leave? I don't know. Anyway, so, in conclusion, let me talk about the horror tropes first real quick. So, there are as I said, a number of common horror tropes, but it's important to remember that these were not horror tropes when this movie was made, because these had not become the standard fare of almost every horror movie on the planet at this point. So the first one is The Final Girl.
What's a horror trope?
A horror trope is a common thing that happens in all horror movies that everybody that watches horror knows about. It's like a formula. So one is The Final Girl. So The Final Girl, usually you can detect who the final girl is in the first 10 minutes of a horror movie. Now this one kind of, you know, psyched me out with, what's-her-face, Margot Kidder, because I thought she would be the final girl, but she wasn't. Jess is the final girl. So usually the final girl in many movies is virginal, smart, independent. There's a, you know, anybody who's basically, I don't want to say a bimbo, but hey, bimbo, promiscuous woman is going to die in a horror movie. So that's The Final Girl. The second one is The First Person Killer Perspective that we already talked about, and that makes the movie much more frightening because you don't see the killer, you don't know anything about the killer, you just have to use your imagination, which is much worse. And John Carpenter obviously perfected this with Halloween, especially with the first scene of a young Michael Myers in his Halloween costume walking through the house. You see through his mask that he picks up a knife and goes to stab his sister. So so from that point on, you know, many horror movies have used this. The other thing is the ambiguous ending, which we talked about. So no one is safe. And also the randomness of the killings. There's no reason why this guy, which we call him Billy because he says Billy while he's making these calls, so who knows. Anyway, he's called Billy. There's no reason why he picked this sorority house. So that means in your real life, no one is safe. So that makes us all a little more nervous. And then the thing that I'm always complaining about in horror movies is people run in the attic or the basement or both. Like, you should run screaming straight out the front door. But no, you have to run into a confined space that has no exit and no windows to get out of. So that's a fine idea.
That's smart.
Yeah, yeah. So, and this movie contains both of them. Some people went in the attic, some people went in the basement. So, hey, you got both of them there. So, in conclusion, despite being 45 years old, Black Christmas holds up surprisingly well. There's some dated things, you know, like the house phone, who has a phone in their house anymore, the guy running through the phone company trying to trace the call, hint, the call is coming from inside the house. But other than that, it held up pretty well. So I definitely suggest checking it out and seeing what you think, especially since it's so important to the slasher genre and everything that came after that. So with that, let's see what Michelle came up with us for. There are a whole bunch of things going on in this movie that you might have based something on. There's the Christmas theme. There's, of course, always the horror theme in these movies we're talking about, or something with the word black in it. So what'd you come up with?
Well, Jeanette, that movie sure does pique my curiosity. I cannot wait to see it.
Oh, you're funny.
Also, to go along with that movie, we're going to make black truffle pasta with just 5 ingredients. So it does have a lot of fat in it, but don't worry, while you're watching the movie, you can shake it off in horror. And you'll be...
Well, maybe you'll hope you'll be chased by a serial killer so you can work off some of those calories, right?
Yes, definitely. So black truffle pasta has 5 ingredients. You're going to need 8 ounces of pasta, 1/2 cup Parmesan cheese. Oh, and it's for a romantic horror night movie. So it's great for a first date, I say. 1/2 stick salted butter, 1 ounce fresh black truffle mushrooms, fresh parsley, salt and pepper to taste, and a big old pot of water. So you'll need to Bring the large pot of water to a boil and salt it generously. And then you'll cook your pasta until al dente, usually a couple minutes. That should do it. Meanwhile,
what
you're
going
to...
What does al dente mean?
Al dente means almost done, like a true Italian likes. Not real soft and not real hard, just right.
Okay.
And you'll grate the Parmesan and set it to one side, and you'll add the butter to the skillet and melt it over a low heat. And once the butter has melted, grate in about 3/4 of the black truffle, and then stir well, and then remove from the heat. And then you'll want to reserve a half a cup of pasta cooking water, and then drain the pasta. You'll stir in the pasta into the butter along with 1/4 cup of the reserved water. Stir gently over a low heat until everything is combined. And then add the Parmesan and serve immediately with fresh parsley, garnish,
and more
black truffle. Yes, right away, so it's nice and hot. Bring it over to the TV and watch the movie. And I hope you enjoy your movie and your pasta. And you have a lovely first date. And I hope it becomes a second date for you. And you're not scared of the pasta or the movie.
There's nothing to be afraid of the pasta, I don't think. Unless you're lactose intolerant. So what we'll do is we'll put this recipe up on the website. And we'll see you again here next week. We don't have a sign-off yet, so we would just wish you a Merry Christmas. I would wish a Happy Festivus. And Krampus Day has already passed, so we can't do that one. Solstice has passed. Happy Kwanzaa. Hanukkah has passed. Did we leave out any holidays? Happy New Year's. And a Happy New Year's from me.
And a Happy New Year. And happy holidays from me.
Thanks. Talk to you next week. Bye.